Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Today, Carla Soans talks with Kyle New, location consultant at Austin Consulting. Kyle is chock full of really awesome insights as he has experienced the business as an economic developer, as a site consultant, and also in the private sector. Kyle talks about the data analysis, which goes on behind the scenes of site selection, which data economic developers can gather to help cover gaps in site consulting firms' data sources, subscriptions he follows to stay in the know, and so much more. He really kind of lifts the curtain behind site selection and what all happens with data analysis as RFPs come in. So, Carla, let's shift over to you.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Soans, and I am really, really pumped. And I know I get excited about every guest that we have on the podcast, but today is a special one. We have Kyle with us. I'm going to let him tell a little bit about his story, but Austin Consulting. So we're going to dive into life in a consulting firm today and as a data analyst that works on these types of projects and just kind of dive into what that's like and ask a little bit about your background, what sources we might need to know. So I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. We'll try to go wherever the spirit takes us. But Kyle, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Yeah. So I want to start with just kind of your journey, because I know that you're at Austin Consulting now, but you've had a lot of different opportunities to get to know this work from different angles. And so I just want to I want the listening audience to just kind of better understand your journey. You know, what was your plan when you went to college, and how did you end up doing what you're doing now?
Yeah. And I'm sorry if this sounds like I go all over the place, because I kind of have. So starting out college, I really was more of just a focus on, I wanted to play baseball, but wanted to get a quality education as well and study some interesting things. So I went to Center College in Danville, Kentucky, played baseball, and actually double majored in financial economics and international studies, which actually works out really well for site consulting. Everybody's like, oh, cool, double major, interesting. What do you do with it? And my answer generally was, I don't know, but it's fun to study. And I did luck into an internship at a real estate investment trust, which actually really piqued my interest in location decisions. So they were in a ramp up, purchasing a lot of different properties for one of their funds. And I was really just got interested into why is this company purchasing each of these specific properties? What's special about these properties, and why do they build a good fund? Mm-hmm. So lucked into that as an internship between my junior and senior year. And lo and behold, another center alum was actually at McCollum Sweeney Consulting. So I had the opportunity to join McCollum Sweeney straight out of college to do site selection consulting. So learned site readiness and certification programs, and then got to help in the site selection projects there as well. Had the opportunity to move back home to the Cincinnati area, where I'm originally from, to do things on the economic development side of the world, working mostly again site selection projects, but from an economic development role standpoint. Worked two really big food and beverage projects while there that ended up really piquing my interest in the food and beverage world. Moved to a company called Givaudan to work in marketing for ingredients and food additives for, again, the food and beverage world, which finally led me to Austin. Like I said, I've kind of been all over the place.
Love that, though. I love that because you really, I mean, it's incredible because you have the site selection experience, even from the real estate side to like just a site consultant, like McCollum Sweeney was such a good firm. And so many of the consultants are now out doing great work at other firms. But then to work in the industry, you know, to work in economic development, and then to come back and kind of work at Austin Consulting is just a really, really cool story. And I think that It gives you so much perspective that other people have only seen it from one side of the, I hate to use the word transaction, but the project. And you've seen it from all. So let's talk about that. So what's the day in the life? Like, what's an average day look like for you?
I'd say there is no average day. Baseline, each project is, I mean, you have people say it all the time. No project is the same. And it really is the truth. So no day for me really is the same, between doing, analysis on labor markets, looking at existing employers in an area, site analysis. So looking at utilities, topography, wetlands, even working some economic development projects. Specifically, we work with the state of Tennessee to do some community assessments, site assessments. Digging into today has been a lot of cost comparisons, looking at different locations based on wages. But we also do that comparing utilities, depending on where we are within the project. So it's a lot of pulling from different data sources, and it all ends up being stacked up into what do we need to deliver to our client so they can make an informed decision for a location.
Yeah. So, okay. So I want to go back to what your favorite part of the job is in a minute, but I feel like everyone wants to know, like, from a data analyst perspective, like, what economic developers, because you all have so much data. So when you run into hiccups, like when you're analyzing data and you're missing something or you need additional data, you know, what do you wish economic developers had? What do you wish they knew about your job? Like, what are ways that they could really kind of level up on their own data and research in order to really help support some of these projects?
Yeah, I think a great way to think about it is each and every project we're working, we're trying to tell a story to our client so that they best understand how each of these locations stack up and the story of why they should select one of these particular locations. Any information that can help us tell the story of a community better is always something that'll help create an advantage for a community. So that's kind of how I would say to think about leveling up. Specifically, some of the gaps we sometimes see are with expansions, layoffs, and closures in a community. Mm-hmm. All these economic developers are great at telling us who's come to the community, who's expanded. But a lot of times we want to know who has layoffs, who has closures, because we're looking for workforce that's going to be serving our facility.
Right. Okay, that's great. And what is the best way? Like, do you wait to have a project, or should we be communicating with you like often? Like, what is your kind of preferred method of like getting in the know with some of the data that economic developers might have?
I mean, either works. Personally, I like to hear from different communities more frequently than just when we have a project, understanding what's going on. And a lot of times we will be thinking, hey, that sounds like a location that could fit for this particular project. We might not have been considering it initially. So that can happen at times. I know other consultants say the same thing, that sometimes being marketed to at the proper moment can help with particular projects.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's good. So let's talk a little bit about the data. So I started by saying that you have a lot of data that, you know, economic developers sometimes have, but you might have a level of data that we don't all have. So can you talk a little bit about what data subscriptions and sources you're following?
Yeah, specifically, we're using a lot of my day's been spent in what's called ERI, mm-hmm. Which is the Economic Research Institute. So that's been a lot of what I've been doing today with wage data. We use EMSI. Always going back and forth between EMSI or JobsEQ. Mm-hmm. Those are great subscriptions to have in terms of storytelling and what we're using already in-house. Things to just that I keep tabs on would be area development and site selection, mm-hmm. more for those newsworthy stories to kind of understand what the landscape of the industry looks like. Personal things that I like to keep tabs on with working with food, Food Dive, Food Entrepreneur are great. They give little tidbits that might not make some of these national news headlines, but they do talk about plant expansions or new locations, new product lines, and fundraising are always things to keep tabs on as well.
Yeah. Well, the Food Entrepreneur one's one that I feel like I need to read, because I like food and I like to know what the new food items are. I feel like food has been one of those things that has been such an innovation that you just see such really cool things all the time, and it's delicious.
I'd say definitely reading that publication will expand your horizons quite a bit.
Yeah. It'll blow my mind. Okay, good. So let's talk a little bit about, you talked a little bit about what data, you know, what people can do to kind of like help support you and kind of keep you abreast of like closures and those kind of things. Is there any other data that you wish that communities had, like could drill down more on? I know one of the reasons that I asked the question is that sometimes people use like Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it doesn't always get down as deep into the local or regional level or zip code. Is there anything that you feel like, you know, recommendations for economic developers in terms of how deep or different sources to look at for data?
In terms of different sources, I really think we do cover it fairly well in-house. Now, that being said, having been on the economic developers side of it, usually when we were responding to site consultants, they were pretty happy with what we were able to provide via EMSI. I'm going to keep harping back on that you get a lot of granularity there. JobsEQ as well does a great job of it. Other things here that I would say that can help us specifically that are sometimes gaps, it's going to sound funny enough, but we use Google Earth all the time. And they're looking at utilities, looking at property lines, what surrounding areas and historical land use. So being able to simply have site information in a KML or KMZ file from Google Earth is extremely helpful to us and makes my job a heck of a lot easier sometimes. Okay.
Yeah, I love that. That's practical and easy. And I think one of the other things I'm hearing from you is just being able to be that resource and get you connected. So, you know, I feel like economic developers have to kind of be that connective tissue of like, you might need to talk to employers, you might need to talk to utilities, you might just need like a lot of different data, and it depends on the project. And you're relying on the economic developer to know who to call when the question comes up of we need this.
Being a centralized hub for the project response is extremely helpful to us.
Yes. Okay, good. Okay, so I want to go back to a question that I skipped, and I feel like it's an important one. But you've been doing this for a little while. You've made your rounds and done a lot of different things. Like, what's your favorite part about the job? Like, what do you love about what you do?
Honestly, this is going to sound funny, but what I really like about what we do is we have a long-term project. A lot of times with some of the other things that either being on the economic development side of it or being on the corporate side, it feels like a lot of churn to projects or short timelines. With this, each and every day, I feel like I'm working towards a much larger goal. And that's really what drives me each and every day, is working towards that larger goal of, you know, it's a large capital investment for that company, oftentimes helping people who have never made a decision like this in their lifetime make a very, very important corporate decision. So that's generally my favorite part.
Okay, perfect. So what do you feel like is your, when you think about like the next 5 to 10 years, is there anything that you think is like game changing for economic development and site selection, like on the horizon?
I mean, that's an interesting question.
Are there any trends that you're just kind of like keeping a pulse on?
I'd say a lot of the things that we see now are shifting just in terms of labor, what Amazon's out there doing. It's changing what we're doing each and every day, trying to understand where they are, what they're paying, and how to advise clients to attract talent, either from Amazon or not be too close to Amazon so that they can actually operate. Other things, things are changing so quickly. It's hard to predict even 5 to 10 years down the road with this. There's probably some technology that I don't even know about that will be something we're using daily.
I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think the wage conversation this time around coming out of the pandemic is going to be different. And what that does in terms of workforce, I think is going to be interesting. Does it bring people back to the workforce? Does it keep people out? And then what happened, like, how do companies respond? Like, will we see wage increase, or will we see a lot of investment in robotics? And
it's going to be extremely interesting, especially with everybody's talking towards and seeing impacts of inflation happen already. Mm-hmm. I don't have a crystal ball to say where that'll go, if it'll continue to rise as it has been. But that'll also be part of that labor discussion. Can people afford to have manufacturing workers? It'll be very interesting to see how that unfolds.
Well, Kyle, it's been so great to catch up with you. And I'm so grateful that you took time to kind of give us a dive into the data analyst side of the site selection project. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.